God's love is faithful and never-ending, as Mike McIntosh tells us.
You know, the older you get in the Lord, the more you'll see that is true about Him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's faithful. We may be unfaithful, but He is always faithful. If He says He loves you, He means it. He says He's going to provide for you, He means it. He's very faithful. And that's an attribute you want in your life, to be a faithful witness for the Lord, but be a faithful person to your family and friends.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
Studies could not leave us at a better place than Revelation chapter 19. Here we discover an amazing scene of worship, celebration, and adoration. This chapter brings us to the culmination of world history. The judgment of the wicked and the wedding of the Lamb are both found in this fantastic section of Scripture. The description of the bride's clothing, pure and white, stands in vivid contrast to the gaudy apparel of the prostitute described in the last chapter. Only those clothed in the righteousness of God will be properly attired on that great day. Get ready for heaven is the title of this teaching, so let's get right to it.
We're in Revelation 19. Our message is called Get Ready for Heaven. And we're going to see, if you got your ticket, we're ready to go. So we start, before we see heaven, we start with the very last battle on the earth, very last battle. Well, next to the last, but pretty much it's all over. War, all the worlds coming together. What I found interesting in studying this again was that we're watching the world get prepared for this right now, where all the nations are going to turn against God. And they're going to actually go to war with God when Jesus comes, the second coming. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we open up the book of Revelation to You, and we thank You for it. We thank You for the very first night we all met in this room and all the 4 months since we started this study. We pray You'll use it in every life and become very, very real and powerful with Your love in every one of our lives. And help us to be witnesses that people would see Your love and they'd turn their life over to You. And as the world's getting ready for all this disaster, they don't even know it. We know that You're ready for it, and You're ready to remove the people that You love and that love You. So bless this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, chapter 19 has 21 verses, and it's divided up in about 3 to 4 portions, and we'll go over those first. The first 10 verses deal with rejoicing in heaven, because the people that are in heaven tonight, many of us have people we love that are there, are excited that the end is done and everybody's going to be together as one big family. I'm excited about that. I felt like when You blessed Holland and myself with a beautiful, just luscious hamburger dinner, that we were part of a family. But there's luscious chocolate and vanilla cake waiting for you afterwards. We had to go in and get a picture taken, cutting the cake and sampling it. It's okay, you'll like it. It's really good. So after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. All right, a lot of people up there saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Now, isn't that interesting? It's in outer space that people say that, but on this planet, they hate Him. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with their fornication. We looked at that in our last message about Babylon the Great, the world commerce and spiritual system. With their fornication, He was avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. So the system, even today, Christians are beheaded and tortured in many countries around the world. So he's avenged himself. That's why they're rejoicing. Again, they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rises up forever and ever. So that great city that was judged in the last message. The 24 elders, the four living creatures, fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. So heaven's going to all break loose with praising God because we fit as his servants, the least and the greatest, and we fear him. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So omnipotence, a easy word for you, omni, it's everywhere, and potent, it's powerful. His power is everywhere, and he reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife, you, the church, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. I'd like you to underline that in your Bible. Worship God, those two words. Let that ring in your mind every day and night. Worship God. Worship God. Don't worship the things of the flesh. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's something you'll want to learn as you get to know the Bible, because there's people that would argue about the end times, the rapture of the church, the judgments, all those things don't have anything to do with anything. But it says right here, the spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So he does prophesy through his leaders. So we have two suppers here, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's his bride. And we have the other one that we're going to see in just a moment, and that's going to be the supper for all those that were killed in the Armageddon battle. Verses 11 through 16 reveals what's known as the second coming of Jesus. The rapture is not the second coming. That's something that's done like a thief in the night, just comes when we don't expect it. He removes the church off the earth, and then the judgments come, as we saw, in order. And now the second coming is when he comes back, and you'll be coming back with him. And he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years on this planet. And you're going to reign with him. And there will be people during this tribulation period that you'll see here in a moment that will be saved. And they will deny the mark of the beast on the right hand or the forehead. They won't worship him or his false religion. I don't know how they're going to eat or drink, but they're going to make it. And they're going to be rewarded. Most of them will be beheaded. Now, verse 11, I saw heaven open. That's kind of cool. Heaven's open for business. Heaven's opened, and behold, a white horse. Now remember when we started the judgment in chapter 6, the first judgment was a rider on a white horse. And I showed you the difference between the two crowns. The one on the chapter 6, white horse, had a crown, and that Greek word for it was Stephanos. Stephanos is a conqueror, or it's given to you. But the it's just kind of a, how do I put it? It's like the wreath that's given in the Olympics. That was a crown. That was a Stephanos. If you won the javelin throw or the 100-meter dash, you got a Stephanos. But the one that Jesus wears is the other Greek word, diadem. And a diadem is for royalty. And so he was not royalty. He was the false leader that claimed to be royalty. Now we see heaven open, and there's a white horse, and it's not the Antichrist, this is the Christ. And he who sat on him, his name was called Faithful. You know, the older you get in the Lord, the more you'll see that is true about Him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's faithful. And we may be unfaithful, but He is always faithful. If He says He loves you, He means it. He says He's going to provide for you, He means it. He's very faithful. And that's an attribute you want in your life, to be a faithful witness for the Lord, but be a faithful person to your family and friends. Next name, He's called True. And in righteousness, He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one except Him knew. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword that with it He should strike the nations, and He Himself will rule. He'll rule them with a rod of iron, otherwise He's going to be a just justice, and He's going to be a true leader, and He's going to have everybody's best interest at hand. No political parties. The Lord will make the decisions. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and it was on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now verse 17, we come there, and for those last four verses, the final battle on the earth for the Lord to take control and wipe out all the armies that represent the nations that hate Him and don't want God in charge. And we see the final arrest of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And all the evil and darkness is being removed at this point. I saw an angel standing in the sun. Now think of that for a moment. Have you ever been to the beach or somewhere where you're getting a suntan and you're getting burned? Yes. Right? Imagine standing in the sun. That's a powerful dude. And you want to make friends with this guy when you get there. I mean, he can stand in the sun, so he's not afraid of anybody. But remember this, what he's doing in the sun. I saw this, he sees this angel, and he's standing in the sun. He cries with a loud voice. Now, we've seen loud voice several times in the book of Revelation. The greatest in the Bible is Jesus said with a loud voice, "Into your hands I give you my spirit. It is finished." He was strong. Death did not take anything from Jesus. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds. So he talks bird language, to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heavens. And what does he say to these birds? Come and gather together for the supper of the great God. So there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's the supper of the great God for all the beasts and the birds, and they're going to come and eat the flesh in Armageddon. That you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. Now, isn't it interesting that he cries out in bird language, whatever that would be, so they understood him? And his voice was so strong, it traveled 93 million miles. That's a strong voice. And that's just one angel. So imagine the opportunities when we get there are unlimited. When he opens the door and says, "Okay, I've got an assignment for you. I'm going to give you two angels, and the one that stood in the sun and the one that killed 185,000 of the Syrians, and they'll go with you as your bodyguards, and you're going to go out and discover a solar system that's never been discovered in a different galaxy, and I'm going to have you develop it, and I'll give you all the architects and the people that you need." And you say, "What?" And you're going to just, for eternity, you're not going to sit around and suck your thumb and play your guitar. Well, I don't think you'll suck your thumb, but I think you'll play a guitar. So just think the unlimited of what he's got for us. He said, "I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together." Now this is that great battle of Armageddon we looked at last week. And here's their purpose. Why all the armies of the world, what we're seeing with Ukraine and Russia right now is really not much. What we saw in World War II was horrible. Millions died. What we saw in World War I is horrible because the toxic gases that they release. But they're here for the purpose to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Think that for a moment. All the kings of the earth, all the governments, the United Nations say, meet in Armageddon, and we're going to have a knockdown, drag-out battle. Now think of this from their mindset. Not a church religious mindset, right? But it's somebody that's coming from outer space with a lot of people in a huge army. That would be an invasion. So it'd be just interesting how they think looking up, and you'll be coming back with him. He does the whole battle by himself. We don't fight. We're just traveling with him. And we end up in Jerusalem. He starts reigning, and we reign with him. So we get here, and we see this thing taking place at the end. And man is so hard-hearted, they still won't repent. And I found something interesting this past week. It was a quote by Napoleon Bonaparte that said, the plain of Esdraelon, which is the plain of Armageddon, the plain of Esdraelon was called by Napoleon the most natural battlefield in the world. It'll be the largest ever battle. It's 183 miles long, 10 miles wide. The blood will be up to the horse's bridle. So it's going to just be an atrocity. But all the evil will be dealt with right there. Armageddon means the Mount of Megiddo. And that's an area over there by Mount Carmel. So we see the end of this in the hardness of man. The beast was captured, the false prophet. They worked that worked signs and wonders in his presence by which he deceived the people of the earth who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeds from the mouth of him that sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now, there's a reprieve taking place in chapter 20, and then heaven. I saw an angel, another angel, coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now think of this. What is a bottomless pit? Never ends, yeah. It's somewhere in the earth, and there's what's called the abyss in the abuso, the shaft that leads down to the abyss. And this is where the incarcerated spirits, the demons are, in this shaft. Down in the bowels of the earth, we know from Jesus that there was a place called paradise. And there was a gulf, a valley between, and one side was paradise, and the other was what we would call hell. And the people that denied Jesus went to hell, and the people that believed that he was the Savior before the cross, and the people of the Old Testament were in paradise side. So we know it's down there. Then we're told in the Psalms that hell increases itself. Otherwise, it's enlarges. Excuse me, the word is enlarges. So they're always expanding. And the world population has gotten so huge, every day thousands and thousands of souls are going there. So they're in holding. So now, you're going to see how the Lord works before we get to heaven. So I saw this angel coming out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him, tied him up, chained him up for 1,000 years. Now, isn't this interesting that one angel was stronger than Satan? Don't you find that interesting? And yet he's always portrayed in the movies and history as this so powerful. And if you've never read Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 47, it tells you a lot about him. And he was a sum total of wisdom, the most wise creature that God created, sum total of beauty, just really a handsome devil, I guess you'd call him. He's called a dragon, He can change his shape and his form. But one angel comes with a chain and handcuffs him and puts him in jail. Bottomless would mean, to me, is he spinning in the air all the time? Is he, imagine 1,000 years, or eternity ultimately, 1,000 years, where you cannot get your feet on solid ground. Your mind would never be balanced, because you weren't created to be upside down and sideways and back and forth. Your equilibrium would go wacko. So your whole mind would be wacko. He deserves everything he gets. If just one of you stood up tonight and said, what hell you've gone through here on earth. Now, we can't blame him for it all. We made the choices. But he set the choices out there that God would never set out there. So he deserves what's coming his way. And I'll leave that to the Lord, that he can handle all that for you and me. Then the beast was captured, the false prophet. The rest were killed. And this chapter starts out with Satan is captured. 1,000 years, he's cast to the bottomless pit, shut up. And a seal is put on him. And the seal, whatever it is, I find it fascinating. And we probably won't know all the things about what we read in the Bible until we get there. But the seal is so that he should deceive the nations no more. So whatever this is, maybe it's a seal strapped on his head. It says, I'm a liar, don't believe the thing I say. I don't know what it is, but it stops him from deception. It'll be interesting. Until 1,000 years. Why didn't God just end it then? He tells us. When the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. He must be. So now we learn how God thinks in his wisdom. This chapter contains only 15 verses with four major divisions. The battle is over. Satan, the deceiver of all earth, has been captured. He's chained up 1,000 years. That's what we get in the first three verses. And that's how it's going to be. So he lays hold of him. I saw thrones, verse 4 through 6. People will live here, but they will reign. You will be in charge with the Lord. I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness. That's interesting, because we can't see our souls. But if they're without a body, you can see a soul. Then if you could see a soul, and this is a person that's been decapitated, maybe it'd be better to see a soul than somebody decapitated. But in our lifetime, it is interesting that the guillotine has come back and being beheaded has come back. And I spoke with a lot of people in northern Iraq whose entire village, I remember one I was with 23 ladies that they killed all the men before they all died in that village, and they dug a big pit for them, apparently. ISIS took all the women, girls, moms, grandmas, turned them, the men around with their backs to the pit, and then 5 or 10 guys would rape each woman and girl in the village. And then that would be the last image in the men's minds, the grandpas, the uncles, the cousins, the dads, the husbands. That'd be the last thing they'd see. And then they'd chop their heads off and push them into the pit. And then it'd be covered up. That was an awesome time to sit and listen to them. But I realized it's going to be more vicious in the days to come. We're very close to this period, but a lot of people are going to die. Just have your heart right before God so that you can love people through this. So we know that this is going to be a rough time. The 1,000 years has started. There are witnesses now that will witness against Satan. And they were witnesses and beheaded for their faith in Jesus and for the Word of God. That's why they're beheaded.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our teaching for today on Chapter and Verse Radio. Next time, our mission will be the same, serving you each day with verse-by-verse teaching as we seek the full counsel of God's Word. Before we end our time together, let me encourage you to learn more about Horizon's worldwide outreach. Horizon International currently has dozens of missionaries throughout the world, including countries such as China, Zambia, Mexico, and Thailand. If you'd like to keep up to date on Horizon mission activities, read prayer requests, and support these men and women on the field, look in the ministry section, then go to missions on the web at hcf.org. Tomorrow we'll continue our survey of the Book of Revelation with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.